And I want to finish the series on giving, so we're going to do that this morning. Amen. Hilarious giving. Hallelujah. This is the third week of this series about stewardship, finances, and giving. And during the previous 2 weeks, our text has been found in Malachi chapter 3, where we get our directives for tithing and offering. Tithing has been defined as 10% of your income. Offerings, on the other hand, are those gifts that are given in addition to your tithe. Each week, I give you opportunity to give into an offering right here at Turning Point Church. This morning, we gave into the men's ministry. Many times, these offerings will be used for support of specific ministries inside and outside the church, and also for benevolent needs that come up within our church body. Tithing is not the maximum giving expected for Christians. It is the minimum amount that God requires for the support of His church. Added to the tithe are various offerings for various needs. In this series, I've been concentrating on the tithe, but we will expand that teaching this morning, which means we're going to examine the subject of giving once again. And not only giving, we'll look at what the Bible calls hilarious giving. Hilarious giving. Yay. Yay. I can see all the excitement spreading across the room. Amen. Fortunately, I can't say that finances sparks everybody's interest. As soon as I talk about giving, some folks conclude, there goes the pastor, he's after money again, and they tune me out. There's another group of you that all you heard was hilarious giving, and they thought, that's right, if you think I'm going to give one more penny, that's hilarious. God can be funny too at times, but he's very serious about our giving. Amen. Very serious. And you know what? He doesn't just care about your money. He's not changing the world for your money. Right now, he's got lots to look after. I guess he always does, but it seems like more right now. All right, so let's pray and let's open our Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 9. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for this morning. Thank you for this message. And Lord, let it fall on open ears. I give you the glory and I give you the praise. Use me as your vessel. Speak through me. And Lord, let us have open minds today. Lord, we close our minds when it comes to money. But Lord, let us have open minds and learn what God wants us to know. And I thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen, amen, amen. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, we're going to begin with verse number 6. And I'm reading out of the New Living Translation today. We're going to begin with verse number 6. It says, remember this, a farmer who plants only a few seeds will get a small crop, but the one who plants generously will get a generous crop. You must each decide in your heart how much to give, and don't give reluctantly or in response to pressure, for God loves a person who gives cheerfully, and God will generously provide all you need. Then you will always have everything you need and plenty left over to share with others. Verse 9, as the scriptures say, they share freely and give generously to the poor. Their good deeds will be remembered forever. Verse 10, for God is the one who provides seed for the farmer and then bread to eat. In the same way, he will provide and increase your resources and then produce a great harvest of generosity in you. Yes, you will be enriched in every way so that you can always be generous. And when we take your gifts to those who need them, they will thank God. So two good things will result from this ministry of giving. The needs of the believers in Jerusalem will be met, and they will joyfully express their thanks to God. Verse 13, as a result of your ministry, they will give glory to God. For your generosity to them and to all believers will prove that you are obedient to the good news of Christ, and they will pray for you with deep affection because of the overflowing grace God has given to you. Thank God for this gift, too wonderful for words. Amen. This is not a tithing message. This is a message about sowing and reaping. Sowing and reaping. Sow sparingly, reap sparingly. Sow generously, reap generously. This is God's law of planting and harvesting. If you don't plant anything, don't go looking in your garden for a harvest. If you don't plant anything, don't go looking in your garden for a harvest. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 7 that we just read says, you must each decide in your heart how much to give. And don't give reluctantly or in response to pressure, for God loves a person who gives cheerfully. In God's law of planting and reaping, if you do not plant, don't expect. If you do not plant, don't expect. What you sow is what you reap. If you plant bad things, you will reap bad things. If you plant good things, you will reap good things. You reap what you sow. You reap what you sow. There is no way that you can harvest anything from the kingdom of God if you don't first plant anything into the kingdom of God. In this verse, Paul is speaking to us about offerings, and he tells us, give what you decided in your heart. The conclusion, you can give what you want, whatever you decide. But don't give out of guilt, don't give reluctantly, and don't give with a bad attitude. In addition, don't give just because the pastor said you should give offerings. Give because you love God. Give because you're a cheerful giver. Besides, you should choose to give because it's the right thing to do. Amen. Amen? In fact, the Greek word for cheerfully in verse 7 is hilarious. Hilarious. So God is looking for people who want to give not only cheerfully, but hilariously. All right, now I should have heard some laughter this morning when they brought the offerings up. I remember that for next week, amen? All right. I think there are Christians who may have heart spasms every time the offering's taken. Oh no, it's offering time again. I know there are some Christians who will come late to a service just to avoid offering time. There's other Christians that can be gone from church for weeks at a time and never consider catching up on their tithes or offerings when they return. However, as Christians, our attitude should not be, oh no, but oh yes. Praise the Lord. Oh yes. Hallelujah. I have a chance to give back to the Lord a portion of what He's given me. Amen. Amen. I have an opportunity to honor and obey my Lord. And praise the Lord, I cannot wait. It makes me joyful giving to needs. Amen. Hallelujah. Come on. Amen. Hilariously. I think some people just sit on their wallets, and some ladies probably hang on to their purses. The offering is an opportunity to show where your heart is. Considering the tithe, God's word says that we are to give back to God 10% of what He gives us. He gives you 100%, you keep 90%, and then you cheerfully return 10% back to Him. Amen? That is not a suggestion for Christians. It is an instruction on what we are to do with our money. You're probably not going to believe this, but the landlord, the utility companies, the other folks who do business with the church, they want actual money from us. Yes. Amen. Can you believe it? They don't want just our prayers. They don't want just our good intentions. They want cash. They're tough. They're tough. Let me remind you again, offerings are more than the tithe. Well, if I'm obeying God and giving my 10%, why should I need to give offerings? Because this is your training. Father God wants you to become a generous Christian. The sooner you learn this, the greater the blessings that will be returning to you. The word generosity is defined in the dictionary as the habit of giving without expecting anything in return. It can involve an offering, assets or talents, or aid in helping. Generosity is not based upon our economical station in life, but instead it is based upon one's pure intentions for the common good. I'd like to say that again. Generosity is not based upon our economic station in life, but instead it is based upon one's pure intentions for the common good. And this type of giving should be coming from our heart. As we discussed last week, in most instances, the poor are more giving than those with abundance. Our tithe goes to God's church. The tithe comes out of your first fruits. You do not give a tithe from what you have left over from your abundance. In addition, your offerings, your generosity to others is not taken from your tithe. Your offerings, those gifts that help others, come out of your abundance. Now, the offerings involve money, but your offerings also involve other ways of helping people. The idea is to be generous. Now, listen to these words that describe generosity: charity, goodness, hospitality, kindness, compassion, goodwill, sympathy, friendliness, spirit of giving. Did you notice that I've not yet used the word money? Amen. Offerings may or may not include money. But it is essential that we have a right perspective on money, or it will adversely affect every avenue of our generosity. I'm going to say that again. I should have got amen or oh me. It is essential that we have the right perspective of money, or it will adversely affect every avenue of your generosity. In 1 John chapter 3, verse 17, it says, if someone has enough money to live well and sees a brother or sister in need but shows no compassion, how can God's love be in that person? In James chapter 2, the Bible tells us that our faith in God will prompt us to do good works. Jesus himself draws our attention to the act of charity in Matthew chapter 6, verse 2. When you give to someone in need, don't do it like the hypocrites, blowing trumpets in the synagogues and streets to call attention to their acts of charity. I tell you the truth, they have received all the reward they will ever get. What we do in secret for God is rewarded by God. Money and material are definitely blessings from God, but remember, they still belong to God. Amen? Or might you be thinking, if I had material things in abundance, then I would share with God and others. If I had more money, I would give to the church. If I were rich, I could be more helpful. If that's your thinking, then you haven't gotten this message. If that's your thinking, you haven't gotten it. God is looking for hilarious givers that will take him at his word and follow that word, not only in regard to their money, but in every aspect of their life. Amen. If you cannot give God your time or talents, if you cannot be in His house on a regular basis, if you cannot serve others that are in need, then I doubt that you will give God your money. Saints, the Father simply wanting His kids, His children, to be cheerful givers. 2 Corinthians 9, verse 8, and God is able to bless you abundantly, so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. The same God who is the ultimate source of the physical food that sustains us is the same God that enables us to meet our spiritual needs and enables us to serve and help others. It's the same God. Sow a little, reap a little. Sow a lot, reap a lot. It's the principle of God. In Luke chapter 6, verse 38, in the New King James Version, I think I gave it to you wrong there, folks, back there in the video. It says, give and it will be given to you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over will be put into your bosom. With the same measure that you use, it will be measured back to you. And God's measure is always bigger than your measure. Amen. 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 Always. Listen, folks, you will never be able to outgive God. Never be able to outgive God. So here we go. I want to give you two things that you need to write down and apply to your life. Two things. Number one, offering or giving is more than money. Offering or giving is more than money. If the only thing you've heard so far is that God is after your money, you haven't heard me correctly. You haven't received the truth yet. If you think I have no money, so I'll leave the giving to those who have an abundance, you also missed His word. Giving originates with God. God gave, therefore His people are to give. In 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 8, it says, and God is able to bless you abundantly, so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. When we give time, when we give talents, when we give money, it moves God to provide abundantly for our needs as well. It also opens our hearts of compassion to the plans of God and the purposes of God and the people of God. Compassion. 2 Corinthians 9, verse 10. For God is the one who provides seed for the farmer and then bread to eat. In the same way, He will provide and increase your resources and then produce a great harvest of generosity in you. Give is one of those four-letter words that some folks don't like. But I guarantee the word give is a good word. Amen. It's a good word, and it will work for good in your life. So when we hear that it's offering time, let's say praise the Lord. It is time to help someone, praise the Lord. It is time to serve God's purpose. Praise the Lord. Amen. It is time to sacrifice. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. That's the attitude we should have. In 2 Corinthians 9, verse 7, you must each decide in your heart how much to give. And don't give reluctantly or in response to pressure, for God loves a person who gives cheerfully. If you're forced to give, it won't be cheerful. It won't be cheerful. God is the creator of everything, and He promises to give us everything we need. then God reminds us to be good stewards of what He's given us. We are good stewards when we take care of all that has been entrusted to us. Number two, the second thing you need. Where your treasure is, your heart will be also. Amen. Where your treasure is, your heart will be also. Matthew 6, 19 through 21. Don't store up treasures here on earth, where moths eat them and rust destroys them, and where thieves break in and steal. Verse 20. Store your treasures in heaven, where moths and rust cannot destroy, and thieves do not break in and steal. Verse 21, wherever your treasure is, there the desires of your heart will also be. There are dangers in riches. There are dangers in stuff. Matthew 19, verse 24, I'll say it again, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich person to enter the kingdom of God. Jesus wants us to be careful where we put our heart, what our heart seeks after. Is your heart in the right place? Are you building and storing your treasures here on earth? Do you avoid investing in the kingdom of God? This is a heart issue, folks. This is a heart issue. When Jesus spoke these words to the people of his day, they lived in mud houses. These folks didn't have much to begin with, yet the Lord told them in Matthew 10, the last half of verse 8, give as freely as you have received. It is not about giving everything you own to someone else. It is your acknowledgement that God gave you everything and you're not going to hold on to it with a death grip. Is your heart willing to give? Corey Ten Boom said this, and I love this. Hold everything in your hands lightly. Otherwise, it hurts when God pries your fingers open. Right now, our country has an epidemic of hoarders. They are, by definition, pathological, compulsive collectors of everything they can get their hands on. You may know someone that has this problem. I'll give you a list of celebrity hoarders. Mackenzie Phillips has kept every family memorabilia since she was a kid. Lindsay Lohan hoards shoes, enough that it takes a warehouse to store them. Paris Hilton has 17 dogs. Dogs. D-O-G-S. 17 dogs. Lisa Kudo hoards her paperwork and documents back to 1980. Hoarders. This is a hard issue. It's a hard issue. Giving not only reveals where your heart is, but giving also indicates how much you trust God.
That's right.
Amen. Okay, I've given you two main thoughts about giving this morning. Giving is more than money, and where your treasure is, there is your heart. Rod Buchanan made this observation. Almost everything said about money in the Bible is negative, unless it is talking about giving it away. John Wesley said, get all you can, save all you can, and give all you can. Listen, there's nothing wrong with preparing for retirement. There's nothing wrong with saving for a rainy day. The Lord knows we have them. Amen. There's absolutely nothing wrong with not spending every penny that you have. There's absolutely nothing wrong with not spending more than you make. Our problem lies in a wrong heart. Generosity is a habit. It is a habit. Generosity looks for ways to be kind. Generosity is opposite of greedy, mean, selfish, and stingy. There ain't a person in here that'd like to be called mean, selfish, and stingy. Offerings are showing people acts of kindness, not out of your abundance, but out of your love for others and your faithfulness to God. Giving is a vital part of serving God, and it's not limited to a few people, but it is required of everyone who calls on the name of Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians 9, verse 6 and 7, remember this, a farmer who plants only a few seeds will get a small crop, but the one who plants generously will get a generous crop. You must each decide in your heart how much to give, and don't give reluctantly or in response to pressure, for God loves a person who gives cheerfully. To some this morning, giving may hurt you and hit you in the wallet. God knows, God understands how difficult this can be for your flesh. But God also sees your checkbook, and He knows how much belongs to Him. The word giving refers to your tithe, your offerings, your talents, and your time. In fact, giving can include almost anything you possess that might help someone else and honor God at the same time. Amen. So it's offering time. Search your heart, saints. Where do you need to become more generous? You know, for me, time is one of the hardest things to give up. Money is a lot easier to give up for me. Not for everyone, but for me. But my time is precious. Where does my heart need to be? I believe time is just like the tithe. If I give time, God will replace it. God will give it back to me. It's His principles, not mine. It's His ideas and not mine. So folks, I think that when we set our mind to giving, to tithing first and then giving, God takes care of us. Amen. Amen. Just as Joe testified today, he gave and he got. Isn't that wonderful? Amen. I mean, that's the promise. God says, test me in this. Amen. Test me. That's the only place He says it in the Word of God. Test me with your finances. He can do more with 90% than you can do with 100%. Amen.
Your
amen.
Tithe is the obligation, but anything above that, you know, offerings it says to bring to.
That's an investment.
It's an investment. You can look at it as an investment.
Yeah, putting it in heaven, investing in heaven.
Well, I invest mine in this earth right here, so it'll pay kingdom dividends, because these people on earth are the ones that we want to take with us.
Amen. Mm-hmm. Amen. Hallelujah. Mary Lou? Pardon me?
Is it testimony time?
Sure, you can testify.
So the church that we had come from, we would have an annual live auction. just absolutely crazy. A dozen cinnamon rolls would go for $1,000. I mean, it was just ludicrous, but it was all missions. So Norman and I had come up with $1,000. And so we were praying about what to do with that $1,000. And, you know, we'd already paid tithes on that. And so we're just going like, we felt like we were supposed to give half of it. And that seemed pretty large to us, but we said, but we both knew that that's what we were supposed to give to this mission thing. Well, I worked that night, so I didn't get to go to the auction, so my husband went to the auction. And I said, well, you know, just pick me up something, and it'll be my Christmas present, whatever you get at the auction. But there was something I had never told anybody that I really, really wanted. And that was a gold necklace that had a chevron shape. And my husband said, well, I got something, but I don't know if you're going to like it. And that's what it was. It was that necklace. And so every time I see that necklace, I see the faithfulness of God.
Amen.
I mean, God told us to give that money. We were happy to give the money, but he blessed us back. And the other part of that was the timeshare thing that they kept wanting more money and more money. And we just said, nope, that's it. We're not going to give it. We ended up walking away from that without paying any penalties.
Hallelujah.
They were threatening us, you know, bankruptcy. And we walked away from it without one penalty. That had to be God.
Amen. Amen.
I said, that is a miracle right there if you had a timeshare.
Yeah.
I heard you say the word timeshare.
So God's faithful.
Amen.
Listen
Amen.
To what he says and do and believe that he's going to take care of you. But I mean, I still bless all the time when I see that necklace.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
I pay your tithes all the time, and God will keep you on unemployment for 3 years.
He did you, Rosie.
Yeah, amen. And it was all by God. I had nothing to do with it.
Mm-hmm. Amen. And it was a good rate, too. Yeah. It wasn't starving unemployment.
No.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
I've got a testimony. God really blessed me just with something that was a desire in my heart. Like we were talking about, Marilyn. I don't know if you all know about those really old sewing machines that have the metal foot pedal on, mm-hmm. which cast iron, mm-hmm. belts, an old singer.
I know about it.
Oh, I do too. I grew up with one in the house, and I now am the proud owner of another one. I paid $25 for a beautiful, beautiful machine, and it needs the leather on it. But I need a little help, Pastor. So I need a little advice on how that goes together. But it's just a beautiful machine, and I'm just so thrilled. $25 I paid for it.
Amen. Yeah, Paulie.
From a Catholic church, mm-hmm. and then over there they never say nothing about it, tithing, mm-hmm. anything like that. You just mm-hmm. put whatever you want to them. Mm-hmm. So when I become Christian, my husband was already Christian, and one day we have to sell a house. And he said, Holly, we sell the house in 4 days. When people around us, they have to wait 2 or 3 months to sell mm-hmm. their houses. And my husband said, well, we have to give it 10%. I almost divorced him. I said, no, Randy, I'm going to give $16,000 to the church. And he said, Bobby, I don't give it to the church. I give it to God.
Amen.
And I said, no. And I said, and he said to me, well, what are you lacking for? Do you need something? And I start to think of what I need so he can give it $16,000. And I say, no. And since that day, my concept of the giving is changed completely.
Amen.
Because I say, that's true. When I don't have nothing, God still give me. Yeah. And I don't give him nothing. So now that I have, why I don't gonna give it to him? Mm-hmm. So from that day on, even if he give me something for myself, and he said, Pauline, here, I received, for example, the other day, I received the income tax. This is for you. I said, for me? He said, yes, okay, take this one, the 10% for the church. So now I'm a blessing more and more because God put that in my heart.
Amen. Amen. And he proved it to you. Hallelujah. You know, I've said this so many times. God's out for your good. He doesn't hurt you. The concept of tithing is to be able to bless you more than what you're doing now. We're all fragile. We're all fragile. It wouldn't take much to take what we have. But I believe there's an element of protection when we're givers to God. He's going to bless us rather than see us lose anything.
Amen. Malachi says that.
Right.
He says, I'll open up the windows
of heaven. Windows of heaven that you can't contain. Yeah.
And rebuke the devourer. That means that what you have isn't devoured. That's relationships, people, everything.
Right.
Money.
I like to think of it as tires and batteries and things like that. Yeah. Yeah. God wants to bless every one of us, but he likes us to take a step. It's called faith. It's called faith. And most people will testify that they just give to God just here and there, and they started tithing and never missed it. That's the testimony you hear all the time. But it takes faith to take that step. Money is security to most people. But God needs to be security. He needs to be our security. He's the one that's going to take care of us. Right now, the stock market ain't doing so well. It's lost in a few days what it's taken years to earn. But that isn't where our security is. Our security is in God. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And they all said,
amen.
Amen. Amen. Let's stand together. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.